The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You could have also gone.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is the end, beginning.
Song still works.
Is this the Alpha? This the Omega? I don't know. Either way, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up later on this hour, Chiefs press conferences.
Welcome to the Zora Boris.
Sometimes I forget to switch the music out.
You know what? It's fine. Sometimes things don't need to be switched up. Don't just keep it the way that it is.
Can you use that for every rejoin now?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Each of the last 2 days, I've asked Beards if it was Thursday. Or questions that would lead to him to believe that I thought it was Thursday. Playoff weeks, you know, schedules all just kind of funky.
Last week I was a day ahead because they moved everything up a day. So Tuesday it was Mahomes and, you know, Thursday was a fast Friday. So on Thursday I thought it was Friday. So I woke up on Friday going, all right, let's go to work.
I've just been waiting all week for the day we have Cynthia Freeland on. I don't remember what day it is, what time it is, or when it happens, but that's really what I've been setting my watch to.
You know what? Is that alarm going off right now on your watch? Because Cynthia Freeland joins us right now, NFL Network analytics expert. That's right, Josh.
My lucky day!
You ask, you receive. Cynthia Freeland, our guest here in the Zone. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys? So funny.
We are. Apparently, we're doing just fine. We are doing just fine. You know,
it's Thursday, Cynthia. It's great. What?
Don't confuse everybody, man. Stop it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Prayers were going up all through KC and apparently from Patrick Mahomes as well during the x-ray. It was not broke. There is still some fixing to be done with that ankle. Let's go back to the Jags game and Patrick Mahomes pre and post ankle injury. What did you see from him and how effective and ineffective of sort of your analysis of him as a quarterback with two ankles and then with one ankle?
Well, listen, it's Patrick Mahomes, so good thing for all Kansas City fans. I mean, maybe he doesn't need both ankles. Obviously, everyone would like him to have both, but that man's incredible. Look, the interesting part here was that the Jags didn't have an answer for Travis Kelce. And so if you're going to give Patrick Mahomes a Travis Kelce special, it's going to be really hard. And by the way, they didn't have an answer for Travis Kelce when it was Chad Henne either. So to be honest, it was interesting to see the lack of planning around that was pretty fascinating to me in this game. But look, Patrick Mahomes, obviously this is a guy who, you know, with throwing outside of the pocket the most touchdowns, throwing on the run the second most touchdowns, throwing when things break down in extended dropbacks, so 4+ seconds. Next gen stats shows, guess who has the most touchdowns in that scenario? Also Patrick Mahomes. So these are all things that would lead you to believe that he needs his mobility. But I would argue that when you go back and put a lot of that in context, what he really needs is the right scheme so that there's just a little bit of extra time for people to uncover should the defense get a jump on trying to stop maybe a Travis Kelce. Let it just another second unfold so then you can get like maybe the Marquez Valdes-Scantlings or Juju Smith-Schusters of the world open and able to catch the ball.
Mahomes inside the pocket this year has the highest QBR of all quarterbacks, the most passing touchdowns of all quarterbacks, the highest touchdown percentage of all quarterbacks, and the highest first down percentage of all quarterbacks inside the pocket. So, you know, we aren't talking about somebody who is just simply, you know, night and day. Like, if he's outside the pocket, that's what he does. It feels like it's part of his game that maybe is taken for granted or not focused on as much because we do love the highlight reels. We do love the little flip hook pass to Jerick McKinnon, you know, the little shovel while he's running to his left and trying to find an opening and then shovels it to somebody and all of those things. We love that. And maybe nationally, maybe even, I don't know, maybe even locally, but not nearly as much around here. But I think it does get taken for granted or just simply missed as to how good he is inside the pocket as well, that he is not just a first read, let me get out of here, and let me create and play a little street ball.
Yeah, I think the other thing is like calling someone a pocket pass is like use of the pejorative, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's a pocket. But you're right. Like, it's not like a compliment. It's kind of like an opposite of a compliment, right? So while he's great in the pocket, it feels like it's like limiting him to just part of what his game is. So that's, I think, probably why you don't hear that designation, even though he is the best in that situation. And also, you can't take for granted the fact that Andy Reid has created just absolute masterful architecture of this offense so that you're getting an opportunity to pass to a lot of different people on every potential down or run the ball now. So the things are all working together. The O-line, keeping the pocket intact. The running backs creating an illusion of maybe a run. The pass catchers being open and finding new ways to have different looks pre-snap and post-snap so that nothing, you know, gets too stale.
The Kelce part of it, you know, you mentioned that, you know, one of the surprising things is just seeing that the Jags never really answered the Travis Kelce question. And they have been pretty bad against tight ends all season long. So we knew that was certainly a possibility. And would they overcompensate? Would they try to do even more? And then other players would be able to step up. But instead, it was just Kelce open pretty much the whole day. Even, as you said, with Chad Henne in the game, Kelce with Patrick Mahomes hobbled Kelce, and he ends up with 14 receptions. Obviously, Andy Reid can scheme him open. He's the best tight end in the NFL and probably, you know, ever. Does that same thing happen this week against the Bengals, who are certainly better? I went back and watched the game from December 4th, Cynthia, and I did not remember this, but Travis Kelce's first catch came with 13 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in the third quarter. I mean, that would be shocking.
Yeah. So the difference, though, is that even if he's not catching the ball, he's like causing a really big problem to Lou Anarumo in that defense, right? They're pulling Jesse Bates over or making Logan Wilson figure things out, which means there's more space for other people. So while it might not look like an explicit Travis Kelce pass on every down like the Jags, who, you know, we did talk about that, their ability to get slot receivers a lot of receptions, we knew that already, and part of that is help, you know, it helps to indicate, okay, this could be a game for Travis Kelce to just absolutely wreck them. But, you know, Lou Anarumo and the Bengals defense have been the best at adjusting in the second half. By the way, so has the offense. The Cincinnati Bengals in the second half seem to be figuring things out. That will be the key, is are there enough fresh looks in the second half so that if Travis Kelce's not maybe getting the catch, he's creating the space for the other guys. And maybe Jerick McKinnon's like running some tricky things and there's pre-snap motion that allows Patrick Mahomes to stay in the pocket even if Kelce's quadruple teamed, right? So it might not look like explicit catches, but it probably looks more like Travis Kelce creating just such a swarm of like problems that, you know, the other guys are able to then, you know, help out.
What degree of or percentage would you say or guess the Chiefs offense would be, you know, diminished to, for lack of a better term, if Patrick Mahomes is hobbled, let's say 80% mobility, that he's not able to create, he can manipulate the pocket a little bit, but he's not getting outside and doing some of those things that we see him go and create and some of those big plays that happen off of that, or even him picking up first downs with his legs, you know, on third down and, you know, seven or eight that we've seen a number of times. What's the percentage drop then, do you think, efficiency for the Chiefs offense would be there if it's a limited Patrick Mahomes mobility?
Well, the reality is it's probably, I mean, and I'm not diminishing the impact of Patrick Mahomes. I'm complimenting Andy Reid's ability to scheme around this with a full week of knowing. It's not like, it, you know, when it happens mid-game, then you're in more trouble than when it happens kind of now. And, like, those high ankle sprains, everybody's talking about it, and it's true. Like, they get worse throughout the week. Like, he probably feels terrible Monday. Like, that Monday was not pretty for him, I'm sure. And Sunday, whatever. So the long story short is that, you know, it's going to be scheme dependent. So if the running backs can do their part on, especially on base downs, maybe it's short passes, maybe it's pre-snap motion, maybe it's something that, you know, we've seen, you know, from Andy Reid that, like, you know, we haven't seen him pull out since like Eagles old Super Bowl days, right? So you don't even like that's where I have a lot of faith in the architecture of the offense. And it's kind of like, I'm not suggesting that it wouldn't be better if Patrick Mahomes were 100%, but I don't think it's full, you know, whatever percent Patrick is, that's the diminishing return there. I think it's more like, you know, what is, you have time to scheme around and what is the efficiency and effectiveness of everyone else? And this year they've already shown they can do that.
Visiting with Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. One of the things going into the Bills game last week for the Bengals was how do they look with three new pieces on that offensive line? New left tackle, new right guard, new right tackle. Right tackle, a few weeks they've had to deal with that, and right guard had to deal with that. But the first time all three of those guys were different in that game against the Bills, and they were effective enough. I mean, they ran the football, they did some good things, and they protected Joe Burrow in that game. The The offensive line got a lot of compliments, did the Bengals. What did you see from the Bengals' offensive line? Was it scheme and Zach Taylor scheming around maybe the deficiencies that were there? And was it circumstance in that it was in the snow, so maybe it limits the get-off from some of the defensive linemen? What did you see when you watched that Bengals game from the performance of the offensive line that the expectation is those same five guys will be out on Sunday against the Chiefs?
I think they did a really nice job of figuring out how to get the run shifts and motions all in the right spot so they could be effective and not have Joe Burrow be an obvious passing downs, especially early on in that game. So, and the Bills, I have to say, like, the Bills didn't really bring any pressure. Like, they did not look like the Bills team that at least I'm used to watching or anyone else. I understand that their pressure rate without Von Miller went down significantly, but you wouldn't expect it to look like that. You would have expected at least a few more pressures. So the reality was is kind of, and then by the way, that offense couldn't get going, which gives their, you know, the run game just such a, you know, that push that they got from Joe Mixon, that was interesting. Like the first half of that game, the yards before contact that Bills defense was giving them. I mean, we knew the Bills defense used a lot of light boxes. That was something, you know, the next gen stats showed that before, but they got no push. Yards before contact was like almost three. You're giving them 3 yards of cushion before you even try to tackle them. That seems like it's a miss, right? Like that seems like something that is you're going to give them a full head of steam running. Oh, okay, they'll take advantage of that. So it's not that I think we're like I think we went too far to say that the 60% difference in their O-line was going to be like terrible, and then we've overcorrected. I think we've given them too much praise as well.
Yeah, the thing that stood out to me, Cynthia, was how successful the Bengals were with just five offensive linemen running the football, spreading the field, no tight end in there, just Burrow, a running back, and five offensive linemen, and the amount of yards they picked up out of that formation when you've got four defensive linemen for the Bills and Edmonds, that was the linebacker, and they were just dominant in that, and what can you do? I guess that's, you know, the Zach Taylor and the scheming and if there are RPOs involved in that. But what can you do if you're a defense and maybe even Steve Spagnuolo when they come out in three wide and no tight ends and five offensive linemen and Mixon to Burrow's left or right in the shotgun and you're trying to match personnel? What can you do at that point? Because you know they can torch you passing the ball, but they were dominating the Bills in that formation running the football.
The reality is it was working because the Bills didn't do much adjusting to it. But see, that's where Spags will figure it out. And also, I don't believe this is a game where, you know, Chris Jones and Frank Clark are going to be like, you know what? Why don't you just have no pressure? You know, like, we're going to let you get as many yards as you want, and then we'll figure out the pressure. Like, that's what you know about Spags, right? You're going to bring the heat. Maybe you give up a few deep passes. We get it. Like, Ja'Marr Chase is still awesome. Like, Ja'Marr Chase's face is really impactful this season because when you look at those, you know, the yards after the catch this year has gone up significantly for him. Last year he was doing it on deep passes. This year he's doing it and running with the ball after catch and run because that's what they've had to do to overcome that pressure. However, you exhaust some of those options. It's not like this O-line is going to be like perfect. This is not suddenly the Eagles O-line. You know what I'm saying? Like It is, like I said, I think we've now overcorrected to be like, oh, the Bengals don't even need linemen. Like, just put Joe Burrow out there with one guy. Who cares? Like, have the center just snap it to him. He'll look just like Ezekiel Elliott. Just kidding.
You know, just anybody can play center, apparently, in the NFL. That's what we're learning right now. Let's have some fun. Let's get crazy here. Let's see what can. What's the worst that can happen? You lose the game, you're already going to do that anyway. You need a miracle here. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. The defensive front for the Bengals, we've seen them pressure Patrick. You know what? Let me go before I go there. Let me just wrap up a little bit on the offensive line and Joe Burrow. We credit Patrick Mahomes a lot for being able to move around the pocket, get outside the pocket, the throws that he makes, the touchdowns, the highlight reels. One of the things that's been really impressive of you know, Joe Burrow is his ability to manipulate the pocket, even within the pocket. And that was going on against the Bills when even there might have been some pressure, him sliding to the left or the right. And the one thing that's really stood out to me in the Chiefs game earlier this year and then watching that Bills game is when the Chiefs got pressure on Joe Burrow, even if he wasn't able to escape, There was a little dump off in the outlet to Samaje Perine, who was in blocking and then would be the outlet at the end. If, okay, you're getting pressure, let me just turn around and just dump it off. And then he goes and runs and it's yards after the catch and he's tough to tackle. And they did it against the Bills, too, whether it was Perine or this time Joe Mixon. He didn't play in the Chiefs game. That, you know, we talk about Jerick McKinnon a lot around here from what he's been able to do and Patrick Mahomes hitting McKinnon. I don't think Joe Burrow throwing to the running backs and the little outlets that he has is talked about nearly enough as much as we discuss T. Higgins and certainly Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd and what Burrow can do with those weapons, that his ability to find a little crease and then just a little flip to Perine or Mixon, and all of a sudden it's a first down.
I mean, look, it's the same strategy, especially like if that's how these guys get away from the blitz, right? They're mm-hmm. really smart outlet, wide receiver-ish running backs, or I guess for some teams it's running back-ish wide receivers, depending on if you're Debo Samuel or not. But like, yeah. Look, it's all about space, right? The space that's created. And what's been really popular this season is like simulated pressures. So it looks, and the Bengals do this a lot. It looks like it's a pressure, but it's not. And then it looks like the blitz, and it's not. And then you get hesitant about that little dump off pass. That's kind of one of the ways defensive coordinators are sort of counterbalancing that. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out for the Bengals in this one, because you know, they've been doing it on their defense. We'll have to see if the Chiefs try to take that tact as well.
Yeah, and should point out, most of the pressures that the Bills got on Joe Burrow were in obvious passing situations. When it was 3rd and 10, 3rd and long, and the offensive line knew that they were going to have to pass block, and the Bills knew that the offensive line was going to have to pass block, that's when they were at least able to get to Joe Burrow. So 1st and 2nd down, crucial in this particular game. The defensive front for the Bengals and the Chiefs trying to protect Patrick Mahomes or opening up run lanes. The Bills aren't a great running football team as it is, and they've got some holes in their offensive line. Saffold is just, you know, not good, quite frankly. And he was not good in that game against the Bengals, but how good is that defensive line, that defensive front, those four guys and linebackers, as you know, we try to, you know, get this matchup with the Chiefs offensive line that's been challenged by Andy Reid to protect Patrick Mahomes, that front for the Bengals, how good is it in sort of individual wins as opposed to maybe Anarumo scheming?
Yeah, I think it's the scheming. Like, look, Logan Wilson is maybe underrated overall.
Yeah, I agree.
Linebacker. And that's an interesting thing because he could sort of sometimes use the coverage, sometimes come up front, and that sort of chess piece has been good. The middle of their defense is pretty solid, meaning like, you know, DJ Reader is against the run, like that's a pretty solid human being. And then like you've got these this pressure guys, and it's interesting because like on their own or maybe on a different team, like the Hubbard and Hendrickson combination, I don't know if they'd be as effective or efficient. I think the fact how they work together is like really, you know, like the two of them together are greater than the sum of the parts, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think they do a really nice job of scheming ways to, you know, like sometimes lay back, sometimes attack, sometimes, you know, take one step over to the right or right. Like they do small things, make these small adjustments that are really keen. However, I do also believe that the Chiefs O-line, like I like the Bills. I'm not like saying anything that's going to be weird, but their O-line spreads out pretty far. The tackles take one extra step, so that B gap is pretty huge. The problem is then if your guard misses, you're really like putting Josh Allen in a bad position because it's not like he's handing it off to the running back, right? He's trying to do it himself, and then he gets trucked, and then he like tries to retaliate by trucking someone else. It doesn't work, right? Like you can only take so much pressure. So I just don't think that the Chiefs O-line operates the same way that the Bills does. And in that case, I think it'll be a lot. It's not going to be as easy for them to get that pressure, maintain that pressure, and then not be able to, like, the run will be super key. It doesn't sound sexy to be like, in the Chiefs game, the run is going to be very, very key.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it absolutely will be, like, probably, like, the X factor decision-making. So even if it's 2-3 yards, it doesn't need to be, like, 6 yards per rush. It just needs to be effective and efficient enough so that Patrick can stay in the pocket, stay clean, not get gashed, and not have to be playing with that, like, you know, come from behind all the time mentality with a bum ankle.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert, is our guest. Couple more for you, Cynthia, then we'll let you go. But the run game being important, the Chiefs have struggled all year in third and short. They actually have a higher percentage of conversion rate on third down with it being third and nine, third and 10 or longer than third and one. How do you square that circle that the Chiefs are a higher percentage third down team, third and long rather than third and one?
That's, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's like one of those statistics. You're like, is that real? Like, and then you go back and you watch and you're like, okay, well, sure. Like, you know, like situationally it does matter. And look, when you're, it's the extended dropbacks for me, right? Like Patrick Mahomes in those 4+ second dropbacks, he's the best, and he has been the best for a while. So it's part of like, you know, what part of it's like, okay, well, what do we do best? And part of it's like, well, what's the defense prepared for? And I think that they're thinking, okay, it's going to be an extended dropback, but if I see this, I'm going to attack because that's the one time that they'll hand it off. So I think we see some new wrinkles and folds in those third and short situations to counterbalance that. And I actually think if there's one, like, sort of, you know, silver lining to Patrick's ankle, like, perhaps these third and one situations now, defenses will be like, I don't think he's going to drop back and take 4 seconds and scramble around. Like, so I think maybe they'll
so you
they'll
can take advantage
out,
of it, yeah.
Exactly, and they can take advantage.
Yeah, one of the bigger throws to Juju Smith-Schuster, one of the few five-step drops that he had out of the shotgun after the ankle injury was a second down and one. And shotgun took the snap, five-step drop, Juju Smith-Schuster back shoulder throw for 20 yards. Because the Chiefs are probably thinking, if we don't get this on second and one, we got two downs to pick up 1 yard, being up by at that point, three in the game. So Cynthia Froon is our guest. The betting line, and then we'll get your pick for the game, but the betting line has gone from Chiefs as the three-point favorites to Chiefs to the 2.5-point dogs to now the Chiefs are still a underdog. They're a one-point underdog, the Bengals minus one. What do you make of the bouncing back and forth, this pinball of the betting line, and how much movement there's been with Chiefs and Bengals when last week there wasn't really any movement on those four games until you got closer and closer to the game?
Well, the reality is that there's no like sharp money moving the line right now. It's not a volume thing. This is a Patrick Mahomes thing. This is a belief in Patrick's ankle. It just shows you how important this human being is. I mean, the very likely league MVP. You know, is this ankle sprain? How is it? And then people have, you know, knee-jerk reactions. I don't know if I necessarily think it's anything other than that, because I don't think the sharp money's come in yet.
Okay. What do you think happens in the game? If it's a simulation, your model, what happens and who wins?
I have a 2-point Chiefs victory. I'm not going to be popular in Cincinnati so often in the postseason. I'm not. My model doesn't like O-lines that are dicey. It's just the way it goes. It's a low probability situation, even though Joe Burrow's good under pressure. I think this is where we see Spags be like, you know, look, I'm very good friends with Matthias Kunuka, who played for Steve Spagnuolo when he was a Giant. They won a Super Bowl, and he's like, this is where he thrives. Matthias was like, you think Spags doesn't have something really special planned for those three backup O linemen? I was like, I hope so. Let's see it.
Hey, let's see it. I will take a 2-point victory, 1-point victory, 1/2-point victory. I don't care. Find a way to get it done. Cynthia Freeland, you're the best. NFL Network analytics expert. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy the football, and we will talk next week when hopefully we're discussing a Chiefs trip to Phoenix.
That's right, and I hope to see you in the desert.
Absolutely. You'll see me regardless, but hopefully the Chiefs are there with us. So, yes.
Perfect.
Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate it.
Have a great one.
Absolutely, you too. There's Cynthia Freeland joining us here. 2-point victory for the Chiefs. Thought that was kind of funny. I'm not very popular in Cincinnati with the Bengals, although never in the postseason have I been, because the model doesn't really like. So apparently in the postseason, the last couple of years, her model just keeps saying Bengals are going to lose. And they keep defying the odds, which is part of their overall team sort of aura, mantra, that that's fine. Keep doubting us. We'll come through. This is different. This is not anybody doubting them. They doubted them in the Tennessee game last year, and they won. They doubted them in the Chiefs game, and they won. It's kind of split in the Super Bowl. They did not doubt them against the Ravens. 14-point swing. Doubted them against the Bills. Dominant effort. They're the darlings now. They're the betting favorites. There's no motivation from the nobody believes in us. Nobody thinks we can do this. Oh, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon now. Everybody's loving themselves some Bengals. we'll see that mindset. Do they draw from that, or they're just a good team, and whether they're doubted or not, they just go out there and play good football and find ways to win. We certainly will see, but a 2-point victory for the Chiefs is her model. ESPN's analytics have the Chiefs as a 66% chance of winning against the Bengals. Surprising. And betting analyst Joe Fortenbaugh a couple of days ago said the line is moving as fast as it is because of the sharp money coming in. And Cynthia Freeland saying, this isn't sharp money right now. This is all this is speculation around Patrick Mahomes' ankle and this line moving back and forth and moving around. There is no faith in Mahomes' ankle early on. Boom, a lot of money coming in from whether it's Joe's or whoever else. And then the line shifting to the Bengals because Vegas was seeing that, okay, everybody's playing the Bengals here. Maybe a little more confidence in Mahomes' ankle. It got to 2.5, now down to 1. We'll see. And we'll see when there's video of practices and things like that of what Mahomes may or may not look like. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Beards, what's your sleep paralysis demon look like? Mine looks like Jason.
What do you mean you haven't seen that movie?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, and Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. We'll hear from the Chiefs coming up in the next segment, about 11:45 or so, and there will be a lot of Chiefs there at the podium. It will be Andy Reid, and then Patrick Mahomes, Justin Reid, Juju Smith-Schuster, Nick Bolton, and Isaiah Pacheco. Five players and Andy Reid and a playa. Chiefs Bengals. I'm getting more excited. I'm getting more confident. But I don't want to fall into the trap where, you know, coming out of that Bengals game on December 4th, so that would have been December 5th, when I said, all right, I'm done picking the next time the Chiefs play the Bengals. I'm not going to pick the Chiefs to win until they do it, you know? And then this week, I started off, you know, when the Bengals won, of me saying, I'm not picking the Chiefs to win until, you know, they do it. I'm probably going to pick the Bengals to win. It's just what they do. And especially with Mahomes' ankle and how the Bengals played. But then as the week has gone on, and of course, this typically happens with me, and, you know, going through the finding the glass half full silver linings of everything or trying to look for those, and you get more confident in it. But also there are things to, you know, lead you to believe that the first three games, how they happened, there are things that happen in a football game in a one-game script that can be a little screwy. And, you know, it's one of those football things. And is it really an indication of the fact that just one team is that much better than the other? We had talked about the game script where the Chiefs and the Bengals in the fourth quarter and overtime, and in those three games where the Bengals have outscored the Chiefs in fourth quarter and overtime of those three games 26-6. The other three quarters of each game combined, the Chiefs have outscored the Bengals 73-62. So they've been 11 points better in those nine quarters, which you're talking about roughly a point per quarter. So 4-5 point game, if you do that for, you know, four quarters, which is kind of how they match up of anywhere from 3 points plus Chiefs, 3 points plus Bengals, you know, 6 points either way. So fourth quarter plays that are made or not made have been the difference in the three games. But this was what was interesting is, you know, we talk about like the Bengals have beat the Chiefs. Chiefs can't beat them. Three in a row. It's what they do. It's a bad matchup for the Chiefs. They have played 185 minutes and 38 seconds of football in these three games. 185 minutes and 38 seconds. It has been tied for 43 minutes and 40 seconds. The Bengals have led for 47 minutes and 34 seconds. The Chiefs have led for 94 minutes and 23 seconds in those three games, meaning the Bengals leading and the game being tied is fewer minutes than the Chiefs actually leading the game against the Bengals in the three matchups. But they didn't lead the game when the clock expired when it mattered the most, because of the fourth quarter 26-6 that the Bengals have outscored them. Why? How? And what do you do that's going to be different? Because this talk of like, well, you know, the Chiefs have, you know, it's just the Bengals. This is what they do. They're beating the Chiefs. They're beating the Chiefs. They're beating the Chiefs. Yes, late, but they're not controlling the game. They're controlling the fourth quarter. But the Chiefs, for 94 minutes and 23 seconds, have led in those three games. The Bengals for 47 minutes. Doubled the amount of time. But it doesn't matter if you don't have more points on the scoreboard than the other team of what you did for the first 59 minutes and 59 seconds. Because if they lead for 59 minutes and 59 seconds of this game, and the Bengals score a touchdown at the or a field goal in the last second and they go on to the Super Bowl, it won't matter. Figure it out in the fourth quarter. Make plays. This Chiefs team has been, you know, the winning team. Makes plays. It's what they do. They did it last year in the postseason, especially against the Bills. And then they couldn't do it against the Bengals, and didn't do it against the Bengals earlier that year, and didn't do it against the Bengals earlier this year. They damn sure better do it against the Bengals on Sunday. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear from those Chiefs coming up next.